dependent entirely upon the Lord for his help, I seek again your attention to the book of Deuteronomy, chapter 1, and the last clause of verse 17. The book of Deuteronomy, chapter 1, and the last clause of verse 17. And the cause that is too hard for you, bring it unto me, and I will hear it. And the cause that is too hard for you, bring it unto me, and I will hear it. Just to remind you where these words originally came from, as we read this morning in the book of Exodus, the servant of God Moses raised up those who would judge over Israel, those that feared the Lord, that should give indeed a right judgment. They would help and support him as he sat constantly through the day listening to the complaints and troubles and trials of the Israel of God. Now, we remember, as we read, Jethro, his father-in-law, advised him rightly to choose these that fear the Lord to assist him in that great work. And so the ordinary things, the sinful things, those disputes and concerns which could be dealt with by others, these captains, these judges, were to indeed deal with. But the words, of course, respect the hard things, the cause that is too hard for you, bring it unto me and I will hear it. Now, we dwelt this morning, I hope, mainly on spiritual things. For there is much teaching, and it is a word in season to every child of grace. We must leave the Old Testament side of it, and we must, as the Lord will help us, bring these spiritual things to your notice, those things that we spoke of this morning in particular, was the things of the soul. And the necessity, really, my friends, that we might have that grace given us to indeed take it to the Lord. The calls that is too hard, those things that respect our redemption, the safety of our salvation, that which will be for our future eternal profit and good, that they are indeed too hard for us, but that we may be able, as grace and faith is given in the exercise of it, to bring it to him. The cause that is too hard for you, bring it unto me, and I will hear it. Now I desire, as the Lord will help us, to speak this evening of the pathway of which the Lord's children are called to walk. First and foremost, just to say again, it is such a solemn responsibility, you know, to remind ourselves that though our pathways are indeed difficult and tried, and sometimes we are like that good man of old who knew not what to do, my friends, there's nothing more important than your precious soul and its salvation. And that must be first and foremost in the exercises too of your soul, as to where you're not, where you'll spend your time here, but where you'll spend eternity. But having said that, there is a path to walk. And every child of grace, everyone whose names are recorded in God's book of life, are to be brought into a pathway. Grace will bring them into the pathway. Divine appointments will bring them into the pathway. And that is also both spiritual and providential, because it is intertwined. You cannot separate one from another in the pathway of those who fear the Lord. But I'm sure of this, that experience will have told you, and indeed it will tell you, that the pathways are such that it is indeed at times too hard for you. That really, I feel, is the most evidence part of this text, the cause that is too hard for you. My friends, who can describe what the pathway of a child of grace is? Because it is appointed of God, it's not chosen by the person. If it was chosen by our own nature, therefore we would choose an easy way, a comfortable way, and indeed would have to prove in it that there was not grace and there was not God, neither was found in it any profit to our soul. But we're not called to choose the way. That is, in the appointments of it, we, I trust, know what it is to acquiesce to the grace of God, agree to the grace of God. And I believe this, and I've improved it, that when the way has been pointed out by the Holy Spirit as the way to walk, and the constraining love of Christ flows into the heart, there is a willingness to choose that way. We read of Moses when he, it is recorded rather of Moses, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin, which are but for a season. Now, I say it again, and I will emphasize again, the pathways that every one of the children of God walk is a pathway, it is chosen for them. Their appointed time on earth is chosen, and every step of the way is chosen. You remember what David said, the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and he delighteth in his way. My friends, when it is a most blessed time in the soul, when there is those drawings out of love unto the Saviour, then there is no wrong seen in the way, there is no distress found in the way. There's a willingness to walk, the cross to carry. My friends, grace is given to take up that cross. But let me emphasize again, the pathway will be one that is too hard for you. If it was not so, my friends, where would we seek the Lord? Where would we seek the Lord? If it was something that we could manage, something that we could indeed so agreeably go along with, my friends, where would the exercise of the soul be? That can't be done, you know. Old nature will never seek the Lord. Old religious nature will never seek the Lord, because the need is not there. But when you and I come into needy times, and we shall indeed if we're in the way everlasting, if the Lord has appointed us a way to walk, whether it's in the Church of Christ or amongst the people of God, there will be times in that path when it will become too hard. And the cause that is too hard for you, bring it unto me and I will hear it. And in this respect, my mind went to a chapter in the Gospel of John. And there's a word there which I just want to read to you. It is in that occasion when the Lord Jesus Christ demonstrated humility when he washed the disciples' feet. But the word I want to remind you of is this: what I do, thou knowest not now, but thou shalt know hereafter. Now, my friends, the Lord apply that to what pathway he is bringing you into, or is putting you into. Because I know this, that there are those times in the experience of the child of grace, when under this Holy Ghost teaching, they have to say, in effect, that word describes their pathway completely. What I do, thou knowest not now. You know, just the same as those we read of who was on the Mount of Transfiguration in another gospel where that is described. We read this: they feared to enter into the cloud. My friends, if you and I have a pathway which is indeed heaven-bound, we shall know these clouds, we shall know these times and seasons of inexperience when we shall have to say that we don't know the cause, we don't know the purpose in the dealings of God with our soul in these pathways. The matter is too hard, the cause that is too hard for you. It may be too that, you know, the Lord's people must walk by faith and not by sight. True religion, my friends, has this grace in it, the grace of faith. It acts upon and leans upon and rests upon the word of his grace. Now, when the Lord is indeed leads his people by his word, he brings them to follow, and it is a following by faith. My friends, it's not a looking back. There is no faith in looking back at all. Faith is for looking forward. But sometimes, you know, the way is so dark and faith is at a low ebb that it almost comes to the place where the child of grace is standing still. What I do, thou knowest not now. My friends, this will bring the cause. This will bring the matter, the cause that is too hard for you to bear upon you with great weight. And there is another time too when the Lord commands his people to walk in the way that he will have them go. My friends, nature in itself will shrink from that command. You know, I've often said, and if I repeat myself, it is only because the truth is in it. When the Lord Jesus in the 14th of John said, if ye love me, keep my commandments. My friends, that reflects upon all the commandments of the Lord Jesus Christ. Not any one in particular, but all of them. Now, if he appoints and describes and shows you the way which you must walk, my friends, how nature will shrink from it, and it is in effect too hard for you. I say it again, you know, that when the dear apostle was given a thorn in the flesh, a messenger of Satan, the Lord gave him ballast. I'm sure of this, and I can only just venture to say what I feel the apostle must have felt, because he tried to pray that thorn in the flesh away. Some of the Lord's dear people have what is commonly called a crook in the lot. When you read in the wise man's words, who can make straight what God hath made crooked? My friends, that crook in the lot is, it may be that it is to stay there. But it proves, my friends, in the exercise of it, that it is too hard for you. Oh, it's, you know, you can speak about tribulation, and if you're not in tribulation, well, you can endure tribulation. You can speak about the darkness of the way, or the withdrawing of the presence of the Saviour. You can speak about the crooks in the lot, and you can speak about the rough places that the child of God must walk, but if you're not in those places, then it becomes quite easy to walk. But the Lord puts you in those places, and you will find that the way is too hard. The cause that is too hard for you. And then you may come into a barren season in your own soul. I'm speaking to those who are spiritually aware of these things. That they come into a barren state in their own soul. They feel the poverty and there seems no comfort in the word of truth. They go and come to the sanctuary, or they draw near to the mercy seat, and there seems not a word for them. And they begin to hunger and thirst for the things of God. The cause that is too hard for you. And then it may be, my friends, that you are called to walk a path which is a singular path to you. You are called to walk a path alone. It is decreed that most should pass this path alone, my friends. And that is in respect to support. We sang in the closing hymn this morning, do we not know help in self I find, and yet have sought it well, the native treasure of my mind is sin and death and hell. My friends, some of these paths of which the Lord's people are called to walk are lonely paths, and there seems to be no help from elsewhere. You hear of the communion of the saints, and you value the fellowship of the people of God, and you feel a union one to another, but you know there are times when you can't look to another, and you certainly can't disclose the path to another, the cause that is too hard for you. And he puts you in the way, perhaps in the time of blessing, you're brought by grace into what we would may call gospel liberty. You see before you the way which leads unto glory. And you are made aware too that some may call it a tribulative way, but you can't see the tribulation. So much is the joy of Christ in your soul, so much is the sweetness of his presence and the comfort of his word, and the sun seems to shine upon you, and I mean that in a spiritual sense, that you wonder about this word called tribulation. My friends, the beginnings of the way are often far more comfortable than those in the midst of the way. I remember when we were baptized and joined the church, we had a note from our pastor, and in that note he said this: but there's a wilderness journey to walk. And so it's been proved. My friends, sometimes when we commence what is according to the will of God, there is a sweet sense of his presence and a feeling sense of his love too. But my friends, the farther you go on in a manner, in the way, the matter becomes dark, and the time becomes a time of distressing perhaps, and you feel that it is indeed a lonely path, the cause that is too hard for you. My friends, what is that which is needed? I often think of those words of the apostle, you know, when he wrote to the Roman church, and they're so often quoted. You find them on various places, and they're quoted by the Lord's people, and they say, the apostle's words are this, you know: for we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. My friends, it needs grace to find that out. It needs much grace to find that out. Oh, it is sometimes, and it's very loosely quoted. My friends, trials and troubles will come, and the hardness of it, the way will come. The crooks in the lot will come. The rough places will come. The days of adversity will come in the spiritual walk and pathway of a believer. And to get up and say without thought, that all things work together for good, my friends, often those who say it have never walked in that path to prove it. But what is it that makes it work together for good? And the cause that is too hard for you, bring it unto me. As we said this morning, the child of grace has a great privilege. He has indeed a throne of grace, on which, as the Holy Spirit may be pleased to teach him and lead him, this is the place where he shall bring these hard pathways that we've mentioned and others that we may mention. My friends, there is a place of which a child of grace can indeed frequent. The Lord so teach him by his grace how to pray and what to pray for. The Lord enable him to, this child of God, to draw near with all these hard pathways, all these difficult things, these impossible things. Because the very word is descriptive of, you know, of something that is beyond the help of man and beyond your help. You know, I was thinking the other day, I was in conversation with one of the Lord's servants, and we spoke respecting those words in the 38th of Isaiah, where Isaiah pleads his own righteousness and his righteous walk and pathway. My friends, it is very evident that it wasn't nature that he was speaking about. It wasn't old nature that was that which he was to plead before his God. My friends, we've nothing to plead. We lose sight of that, you know, when we come near to the Lord. We lose sight of it completely. My friends, if grace is given, it is the grace of God that you'll seek for to walk these pathways. And the cause that is too hard for you, bring it unto me, and I will hear it. But like the time when the dear apostle was complaining about his thorn in the flesh, my friends, it isn't deliverance from it that he may well grant to you. We have that nature about us that would pray all our troubles away. We don't like crooks in the lot, and we don't like the rough places. And so we pray that the Lord will remove them. But my friends, in this text, I believe, if I understand it right, it doesn't say that. My friends, it is this: that he will give grace sufficient for those ways. You and I will get to heaven, my friends, if we're in the way everlasting, on his grace and on his mercy. We shan't get to heaven, you know, in any other way. I know the finished work of the Lord Jesus Christ is the way to heaven. But I do believe this also, that in that way we shall need abundant measures of his grace in the soul. It is a way of tribulation. In me ye shall have peace. In the world ye shall have tribulation. But be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. Now I'm also aware of this too, that my friends, I may not mention the cause that lays with weight and burden upon your spirit. Now you have that, my friends, which is your personal pathway to walk, your burden. The length and breadth and the height and the depth of it is appointed of our God. But my friends, there is a purpose also in the way being too hard. You know, you can't charge God foolishly in the pathway that the Lord has chosen for you. If you look again at the dear servant of God, Job, my friends, there was a man who feared God and eschewed evil, but he was the subject of the opposition of Satan. Satan sought his overthrow. If you've got grace, my friends, he'll indeed seek your overthrow. You mustn't always believe, my friends, that that Satan works as a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. He's got many faces, he's got many ways in which he will distress and trouble the Lord's dear children. My friends, at the end of it all, it is overthrow. Oh, if he could bring you down to despair, he would do so, and you would have gained, my friends, a victory over grace, but he never will. And Job was such a case, you know, he was allowed, I believe that's the right word, he was permitted to trouble Job, Satan was permitted to trouble Job in that great extent. My friends, no one could ever contemplate what it is to walk in a pathway as deep as Job's. 10 children taken into eternity. The wealth that he had was removed in a moment, and his health and strength was indeed removed as well. But you know, the grace in Job is charged by many, my friends, of the Lord's dear people, of speaking foolishly. Well, the answer to that is, if you walked half the plagues of Job, troubles of Job, you might speak the same way. But you know, it was grace in his heart that said this: he knoweth the way that I take, and when he hath tried me, I shall come forth as gold. The cause that is too hard for you. Well, my friends, the burden. And I've only really just skimmed over the surface of those things which is the lot of the Lord's people. You know your lot, and you know what it is that tries and troubles you. You know that it is far beyond any help of man or your own help. My friends, you and I are coming down to the end of our journey. Is that not a matter that is too hard for you? Can you prepare your soul for that day of death? My friends, will you stand this night in your spiritual pathway? Before you is the day of death. Death is now upon the road, as the poet reminds us. My friends, to many, that's a cause that is too hard. There are those who, through fear of death, are all their lifetime subject to bondage. My friends, as we travel on, as we get older, year by year, we're coming closer to the end of the journey. We shall die. My friends, up till now, someone else has died. Someone else has been taken into eternity. We hear of this one and that one. Within about 4 weeks, I've heard a husband and wife have been taken into their eternal home, and their family are left to mourn and sorrow. But there's going to be a day when someone's going to hear of our death. My friends, is that not the cause that is too hard for you? Can you manage that day? My friends, there are amongst the wicked, of course, a total obliviousness of the seriousness of eternity, or indeed the preciousness of a soul. They know not the burden of sin, and they, as it were, stare death in the face with no concern. But a child of God, indeed, is the most fearful thing which is before them, is the day of one's death. And the cause that is too hard for you, bring it unto me, and I will hear it. The Lord will deal with it. We said this morning that Moses was a type of the Lord Jesus Christ in this, that they wrote all their hard matters to him. And he interceded for Israel before his God. But we said also that there were things which Moses couldn't do. He may have wisdom, and he did have, obviously had wisdom from above to deal with the things and concerns of Israel. But my friends, there were greater things that Moses couldn't touch. He was far and beyond, as we said this morning, their own redemption or their sin, the plague of their own heart, Moses couldn't touch. My friends, the Lord will lay upon you too those things which only the Lord can deal with. Only the Lord can deal with, because it is too hard for you. And I solemnly believe, my friends, the Lord knows the fears of his people as we approach the end of our journey. My friends, one said, "How stands the case, my soul, with thee? Is heaven thy credentials clear? Is Jesus' blood thine only plea? Is he thy great forerunner there?" You know, when you've been in religion all your life, my friends, that is in this respect, that you've met amongst the children of God. If by grace you are found walking out an open profession of the name of Christ, my friends, as days and months and years go on, you enter into this, my friends, you're caused to wonder how it shall be. How it shall be with you at the end of the journey. There is a word in one of the prophecies which says this: "How shall it be in the swellings of Jordan?" And I believe it's only grace, you know, will cause you to be concerned with it. My friends, what are you going to rest upon on that day? The cause that is too hard for you. What are you going to tell, my friends, those who are left to mourn, to remember you by? I remember when I was derided for the amount of times I went to chapel. Somebody in his foolishness said, "Well, I suppose because you've got a chapel all these years, you'll get a place in heaven." I said, "Well, working on your mathematics, then because you don't go to a house of God, you never will get to heaven." But my friends, that is not so. The place reserved in heaven for his people is reserved upon the mercy and grace of God through Jesus Christ. Oh, my friends, that is so solemn and so serious. It's too hard for you and it's too hard for me. Religion isn't to be played with, my friends. It concerns your never-dying soul, and it concerns your eternal state. And the cause that is too hard for you, bring it unto me. There are some very strange ways in which the Lord is pleased to so exercise the child of God concerning not only his pathway here, and the tribulations of the way, and the crooks in the lot, and so on, my friends. And really, when the Lord brings you into these places, you do need grace to bear them. You do need grace, my friends, to continue in them. As I said before, there's everything in us to pray them away and walk a pathway which is free completely of anything that would bother or concern or give us anxiety. But it is not so, my friends. Grace is what is needed. Grace, I feel, is what's in this text. And it is the giving of grace daily and hourly to a child of God that indeed is the answer to the blessing that is sought for here. The cause that is too hard for you, bring it unto me and I will hear it. My friends, he will deal grace, and he will deal grace in your soul and give you grace. Well, now the time, my friends, that we must contemplate then is the end of the journey. We spoke this morning of the path of redemption and the need to be right. My friends, how solemn it is to be careless or indifferent about the end of our journey. But the Lord grant us a real concern. The Lord knows it is a great burden. And the Lord must only alone can put it straight as far as the soul of a believer is concerned. He can only confirm and will confirm that his standing is secure in Jesus Christ. The cause that is too hard for you, bring it unto me, and I will hear it. But then I want to go back to the pathway for a moment. My friends, what wisdom a child of God needs to walk in this waste howling wilderness. And there are times, you know, when they, as it were, stand still. They wait on the Lord and they wait for him, and they are found, as it were, standing still. They're brought to a place where they can't move a step because it is too hard. It's like coming to a crossroads, you know, and there's no signpost. My friends, do you know those concerns and cares? Do you know those exercises where the eyes of your very soul are up to the Lord? You know, it is often said, seeking, that we seek divine direction in the way that we should go. My friends, there are times when you need the Lord to show you which way to walk and how indeed is that way set before you. You may have those times indeed at this time, and you're asking the Lord to know what to do. The cause that is too hard for you, bring it unto me. You know, when Saul of Tarsus was stopped in his wild career, he was stopped on the Damascus road, and he was brought into that humble state of mind, something that a Pharisee never did have. How he was, to use the right word, he was brought into a conversion, a grace-given conversion. Not only was he, my friends, a living soul then, not only was he made aware of his sinnership and sorrowed over sin, because we read of his darkness that he dwelt in for 3 days and three nights, but you know, he was brought to acquiesce to the will of God. Very seldom, my friends, do you hear, and if you do hear, it is very, very seldom, my friends, when a person can truly fall before the Lord and say, not my will but thine be done, respecting their pathways. But grace is needed to do that. Well, the Saul of Tarsus said unto the Lord, Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? I often feel, you know, that's the most unused prayer in the scriptures. Times of opportunity seem to be dictate the ways in which even the Lord's children go. Doors are opened in such remarkable ways that they take that to be the purposes of God for them. My friends, but there's nothing better to a child of grace than to be found in that willing state, that humble state, where they're waiting upon their God for an answer. My friends, indeed, that is the most safe place to go. Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? The cause that is too hard for you, bring it unto me, and I will hear it. There are those things, you know, upon which the Lord's dear people find it to be most essential that the Lord's voice is heard in the matter. Those words of direction which the Lord gives his people to move in this direction or that direction, this way or that way, my friends, are the comfort to them in days to come. You know, there is one thing certain. If you and I walk in the way everlasting, there is one thing that you and I shall prove over and over again. Many things will be known in the way. The crook in the lot, as we said, the hard places, the loneliness of it, my friends, but this and this also you will know, that it will be a way that is tried, the very way that is tried. You can never, if you're not in the path, you don't know what it is. But my friends, such is the powers of unbelief within, and such is the whisperings of Satan in the way, that you know, you almost wonder whether you're in the right way at all. Even if it is crystal clear at the time, and you can walk indeed as the child of God must walk, dependent upon their God, even if it's crystal clear, there will come a time when you may question it because of the unbelief of your nature. You will question it as whether it's the right way, whether you're there by conveniences, whether you're found in that way because one or two things have come together and made it possible to be in that way. My friends, these things try and trouble a child of God. You know, that hymn again comes to mind. 'Tis a point I long to know. Oft it causes anxious thought. Do I love the Lord or no? Am I his or am I not? You know, some of these most well-taught, gracious characters whose words are either in the scriptures of truth or in these hymns that we sing have in their times been brought to such low places. My friends, they've even questioned whether they're right, even in the way that they walk. The cause that is too hard for you, bring it unto me. There is a blessed refuge, you know, at the throne of grace. There is a sacred comfort also to God's children, that you may indeed, as grace is given, apply to God. You may bring your case to Him. My friends, He will make it straight. The crooked will be made straight, and the rough places will be made plain. He may not take you out of the trial. He may not take you, He may not remove the crook in the lot, my friends, but He will give that grace and blessing in your own soul that you know it's the right way to walk. I was thinking then of that word in the book of Numbers that Balaam spoke to Balak. God is not a man that he shall lie, neither the son of man that he should repent. Hath he not said, and shall he not do it? My friends, when the Lord puts his people in the way everlasting, he will support and help them in that way. And though it be a trying way, and it will indeed be so, my friends, God has given us a throne of grace, a mercy seat, a place which a child of God can draw near as grace and faith is granted. And my friends, he indeed will make it straight. What I do, I read just now, what I do thou knowest not now, but thou shalt know hereafter. Now, my friends, what a blessing it is when the Lord makes the crooked straight. And he does so, you know, in such a sacred way. Sometimes by a word in season. Sometimes so very simply to the soul. And, you know, when you'll find that way made straight, then indeed this peace dwells in the soul. There's a real sense of quietness and peace, a God-given peace. And there is that falling before the Lord in submission. And the cause that is too hard for you, bring it unto me, and I will hear it. How often do you read, perhaps it may be in times of trouble, the 46th Psalm, God is our refuge and strength, and a very present help in times of trouble. Well, in that psalm, there is two words which are most useful when applied to the pathway of God's people. And that is this, be still. Be still. Be still and know that I am God. What does it mean for a child of God to be still? My friends, when he's troubled and tried, he can do anything but be still. He's often found groaning and moaning his lot before the mercy seat. If the Lord should so bless him in his own soul, then he can't be still, because there'll be love and praise and thanksgiving in his heart. My friends, I feel the interpretation of those two important words. My friends, and that's that you and I shall keep our hands from the way. If you are a follower of the despised Nazarene, my friends, the Lord give you grace to keep your hands out of that pathway. Oh, there is room indeed in the way for to be led only and directed only and blessed only, my friends, by the God of all grace and the Father of all mercies. He doesn't need our help. The Lord help us indeed in these paths to be still. And the cause that is too hard for you, bring it unto me. Well, what are these causes? My friends, are things which are impossible. But, oh, remind the Lord in your prayer and supplication his own words. The thing which is impossible with men is possible with God. When you take your hard cases to the Lord, you can, on the merits of the Lord Jesus Christ, plead. Remind him of the promises. And indeed seek that grace may be given to fall before him when you know his will. When you know his will, my friends, to fall under it. You know, it isn't everyone who knows the will of God falls under it and agrees to it. You remember how when the Lord appeared and delivered or made a way of blessing for Jonah, my friends, and his labor in that terrible city of Nineveh was profitable because men turned to repentance and the Lord withheld his judgment. It was as if Jonah would take the Lord to task for doing quite the opposite that he said he would do. My friends, grace is needed to fall before the Lord to whatever his will and purposes are. Well, we really just have to leave the word, but it may be that it's a word in season for somebody. It was given me actually during Friday night, early hours of Saturday morning. And as I lay awake with these words, I thought of one and another that come to this sanctuary that have got hard things, the cause that is too hard. One and another came to mind, my friends, and there are others that I don't know of, but the Lord knows. And may you be enabled, and the Lord grants you grace, that these hard places, these difficult things, these cross-handed providences, and above all your very soul and its safety and its security and its comfort, and indeed its eternal blessing, these things, they're all too hard, they're beyond the help of man. Salvation is of grace, my friends, but salvation is of Christ. These are the things to bring unto him. The Lord enable you to do so. We close this morning speaking of the righteousness. Oh, my friends, what mercy it is if we're dressed in that robe of righteousness that is imputed to all his people, and we shall be found clothed in that great day. Well, all these things are these causes, and the cause that is too hard for you, bring it unto me, and I will hear it. Amen.
Yes, for coming week, as follows. I'll put in the prayer meeting on Wednesday evening, and then Thursday there will be a greeting service in the morning, and our pastor will preach in the evening. So I suppose with them 687. Until he is ready to show his goodwill, be patient and steady, and wait on him still. Hymn 687.
Thank you.
Lord, let thy blessing rest upon the services here this day, and thy forgiveness for all that's been amiss. Take us now to our homes in safety and in peace, and abide with us. May the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God the Father, the fellowship and communion of the Holy Spirit the Comforter, remain with us now and always. Amen.